there, there's a wolf. And everyone said I was insane. Well, the wolf wrote a book.
Yes, sir. We knew he was writing a book. You ordered us to give open interviews for the book.
Right, sure. Belay that order.
You can't retroactively belay an order, sir.
I don't know. Listen to me. Yes, you can. Let me tell you something. People are telling me what's in the book, and it's not good for me. And it's not good for Don Jr., which is not good for me because we have the same name. You called him a treasonorous. How is my son meeting with the Russians treasonous? If they only knew. And I'm unhinged? Steve, you got a lot of splaining to do. What is this, Steve? I go away for just a couple of nights to play at the Copacabana, and I come back to find you, Fred, and Ethel are doing something crazy.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll give another interview. I'll give a better interview.
No, you let me down, Steve. You let me down, and you betrayed me. We're not supposed to let authors like this come into the White House and violate our sacred bond.
There's already one here, sir.
What? That guy?
Kelsey Nelson is here, sir. He's another one.
Excuse me.
He's been sitting here the whole time.
Kelsey Nelson is an old golf guy who would always tell me where the worst streams were, okay? Now, excuse me, Kelsey, you're writing a good book, aren't you?
Yes, sir. You're going to love it.
Kelsey's writing a great book, okay? And that's the difference. I never heard the wolf say he was writing a good book. He'd just go, hoo, and run away into the night. You know, now I understand why there are so many headless goats on the White House lawn. Or was that you, Steve, sacrificing goats?
I'm not sacrificing them, sir. I'm doing ritual sex magic.
Oh, yeah, they're great. George Clinton played for them, and Bill Clinton, too. George Clinton and Bill Clinton had a music baby named Chelsea Clinton. Lock up George Clinton. If George Clinton runs next, there's another Clinton I gotta deal with. Kelsey is writing the big book everybody wants. He's building my library, and the best part is, unlike a real library, you can be as loud as you want when you're reading this book. My least favorite part about a book is that I can't talk while I'm reading it, except if it's a book on tape. Then I talk along with it, and I try to match the words. It's so easy. It always begins with once upon a time. Now listen to me. I dealt with a lot of stuff from you, Steve. You introduced me to ritual sex magic, the funk band, and I'll never forget that. And you've drawn runes all around the White House to ward off warlocks. I even took that walk with you to Washington's tomb because you said there was some magic light in there and that he was still alive and I could consult with him about presidential matters. And then we got in there and you tried to make a move on me. And I forgave you, but here's the point. Look at you. You're bloated. You're covered in psoriasis. You're flaking all over the place. You got too many shirts on, and I still took care of you.
I took care of you, sir.
Are you crying? Your eyes are watering.
I got you elected, sir.
Okay, your eyes are just watering. Excuse me. I got me elected, Steve. Your job was to make sure that those whack job tiki torch holding creeps and the David Dukes of the world would go along quietly. Quietly. So we could execute our vision without anyone knowing about it. And now you go running your big mouth in the book? I bet you talked about that hot tub full of acid where you were making meth in that rental house in Florida.
Sir, what I'm hearing is that you think...
Pass me those nuts.
Here are the nuts, sir. What I'm hearing is that you think I should...
What? No macadamias?
I should fight our great war outside of the White House back at Breitbart.
You're gonna fight for me at Breitbart?
That's right. Whence I shall return.
That's a good plan, Steve. Get on the outside. That way everyone thinks we had a big breakup. But the truth is, you're working the heist from the outside. I like it.
Yes, sir.
Here's the point. I got the plan all here. This is the exit interview, but really, it's an entry non-interview. You're leaving to do the good work outside. You promised me that you could stay at Breitbart for a while.
Yes, sir. When the wolf book comes out, please don't publicly turn on me.
No, of course not, Steve. I would never turn on you publicly. Second, are you going to back the right set of candidates to make me look good?
Yes, sir, you have my word.
Okay, you're going to make sure you wear a green military jacket every time you go to speak at an event?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. So you look like that Romancing the Stone guy. You look just like Michael Douglas from Romancing the Stone.
That's what I'm going for.
Totally. And that makes me Demi Moore in Disclosure. He put his penis in my mouth. He put his penis in my mouth. You remember that movie, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Big virtual reality chase at the end? Reverse sexual discrimination?
Yes, sir. It was really formative for the way I view the world.
Everybody loves Disclosure. We should have had another screening of it on the White House lawn.
Another?
Wait, wait a minute.
You didn't invite me to a screening of Disclosure?
Steve, hold on. Let me explain this. Let me explain. Listen to me, Steve. Here's the thing. We were all hanging out. Kellyanne, Steve Miller, you know, the cool crew. And I was like, listen, General Kelly's going to be out of town tonight. What do you say we ordered Chinese and watched Disclosure? And I gotta tell you, nobody said anything except me. I was like, well, Steve's not here. Maybe we should wait. And Kellyanne and Steve Miller were like, no, whatever. It's his loss. And I was like, okay, I guess you guys are right. But I really feel bad about it. And I want you to know I would have never done it. It was peer pressure. Steve, you're my best friend ever. You're the best guy I ever met.
Well, sir, I guess this is goodbye for now.
Steve!
Yes?
Before you go, will you explain the fourth turning to me one more time?
Well, sir, there are great ages of human history, and we're at the end of one.
Great Asians?
Ages. The Hindus believed in it, the Greeks believed in it, and modern mystics believe that—
Like Nostradamus?
He is not a modern mystic, sir. He was a medieval mystic. He didn't really have much to say about anything. That's a conspiracy theory. I don't buy into that.
Like Dionne Warwick?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The fourth turning. We are at the end of an age and at the beginning of a new age, and we are uniquely positioned here in the 21st century as celestial events confirm. We have one final opportunity to reconfigure civilization and reinvigorate the power of the great symbols of antiquity. I want American citizenship to be like Roman citizenship. I want to turn our institutions against the elites and return to the absolutism of the classical world.
Okay, all right, enough, Steve. Everybody loves Roman. We all know that. Roman Polanski was a great guy. He knew how to get him and get him young. You know what I mean? All the directors get him young. I should have been a director. Then I could have gotten that Woody tale, you know? That guy got to fuck his daughter. Brigham Young University. When I learned that wasn't what I thought it was very disappointing. Steve, here's the point. I will make sure to continue the fourth turning for you by buying Celestial Seasonings tea. You're going to get fired now from the White House. A book full of things you said is going to come out in 6 months. You're going to back a bunch of failed Republican candidates and then get fired from everything. Our plan can't fail. And now, Breitbart presents the unreleased sample of Steve Bannon's latest thrill ride, Jack Renegade Expulsion.
It takes a truly great man to rise above the chaos of small, unenlightened minds who fail to appreciate the great cycles of the ages, which repeat themselves in cosmic time. When great men are corrupted, they cast off those who they once depended on, even their brothers and comrades who made them who they are. The cycles of birth and destruction are as old as that tiny dot of white light that consumed the ether of the pre-universe in the form of an ever-expanding singularity. In other words, an expulsion. Jack Renegade pressed the elevator button at the White House, making his final exit from the tomb-like corridors of the West Wing. As he walked out of the place, he muttered, "Shithole," to himself. "What?" said a 19-year-old boy. "Nothing. Would you like to come work at Bite Blart?" "No." "Well, you're losing out, because things are on the upswing for me." New horizons were around the corner for Jack Renegade. His president had failed him. He had broken all his promises and betrayed the cause. Jack just couldn't take it anymore. The cabal of the news media and international industrialists had finally gotten a grip on our great leader, neutering his potential like a dog's fat sack. Renegade knew he had lost him. He'd always be there in service if he wanted to turn the ship around, but he knew that wouldn't happen anytime soon. Greener pastures lay ahead for Jack Renegade. Renegade whistled, "Happy days are here again," as he wandered out of the Oval Office, straight out onto the lawn, past the guard, jumping the gate and getting his sweater and turtleneck caught on the front of it. He dragged it down, ripped the sweater off, and walked away from the White House for what he thought would be the last time. The only thing Jack regretted leaving behind was the snow globe with his removed cancerous testicle in it. He had promised that he would keep it with him always. But no time for sentimentality. It was time for him to pick up his weekly check from the Duprats. Renegade clicked his heels together and slid clumsily into his 2018 Ferrari Portofino. He revved his engine as he tore down the streets of Washington, tracing the sacred lines of l'enfant. The president had once said l'enfant means the baby in French, but little did he know this baby had a lot in store for him. Washington was a restless toddler, and the president would soon come to learn that he had lost his greatest ally. Duprat Mansion. The cold, wet stone and sticky iron buzzer reminded all visitors of the brutally majestic legacy of the family whose name it bore. Dozens of beautiful peacocks roamed the grounds. The Duprats had bred them specifically to have different colors in their feathers to resemble the family crest, and their size and stink were impossible to overstate. Geese were trained to honk on the quarter hour, a really nice fountain. These were truly elegant people. A carriage drawn by four white horses stopped short as Jack crossed its path. "What are you doing?" said the carriage man. "It's me, Jack Renegade." "Well, you came in the side." "Oh, really? I come in this way every week. I didn't realize I was entering like a servant." At that moment, Renegade knew something was wrong. His keen senses were honed in the CIA, MI5, and the NSA, after all. He had taken what the deep state had offered him and cast it aside, knowing one day he would return, like Odysseus, transformed and ready to confront the very powers that created him. Was today the day? He entered the marble hallway, a tribute to Hiram Abiff. Perfect geometry built this place, the sacred messages of the stars and other planes of reality communicating through every single marble step. His phone beeped, a text from Mr. Duprat. "Are you here?" He wrote back, "Yes, I'm in the hallway." "Where? Which hallway?" "The sacred one." "Who let you in? What are you talking about?" "Who? The horseman." "We don't have a horseman." "I don't know. Where are you?" Jack Renegade knew he had to hurry. He tried pushing aside a book on a bookshelf to reveal a secret door, but nothing happened. It seemed he had merely smeared eczema skin on a paperback copy of Paradise Lost. There was no secret door. He started pulling more books off the bookshelf, dropping more skin, sweating, spitting, stacking big books to make a little seat for himself so he could sit lower and pull more books. Finally, after 20 minutes, Lady Duprat entered the room. "What are you doing here? You're ruining the library." "Burn them all, I say." "No, don't do that. My father wants to speak to you immediately. Didn't he text you? We need to make a change to our arrangement." The only change Renegade wanted was to stop receiving his weekly payments in worthless fiat currency so he could skip the trip to the Bitcoin machine at CVS in Silver Spring and be paid directly with money backed by the secret primes of Pythagoras, which echo the secret universal harmonics in their mathematical elegance. Jack sat down with the senior Duprat, the austere patriarch of the family. Jack saw in his stern face the statuesque ancient lineage of Richard III and the Habsburgs, Rothschilds and Doolittles. Basically, his eyes were too far apart on a face that was too thin, like a fish. He sat, his royal fingers dancing over the contract. He lifted it gingerly, brushing the parchment once against Jack's wrist. They both let out a gasp. His long, bony fingers were purple from lack of circulation. A pool of water always surrounded his chair. With a swift rip, the contract split in two. His assistant handed Jack a box of his things he had left around the house over the years, along with a check for $15. A beer koozie, a Rubik's Cube, an old keychain with keys to a house he no longer owned. His old headphones. There they were. On top of his box of knick-knacks was a note in beautiful, bold calligraphy that read, "Our relationship is terminated." The bankers or the deep state must have gotten to him before Jack could have reached him, and now he realized that pool of water was probably piss. Jack wasn't surprised that a rank sellout like this wasp would betray him like this. As he walked out, he kicked one of the peacocks straight in its big, beautiful ass. "I'll set fire to this place!" Renegade shrieked. He returned hours later with a can of gasoline he filled up at the wholesale club, but he was not allowed through the gate, so he poured it on the front driveway and lit it on fire. Everything was iron, so it just got hot and then cooled down. Oh, my! Jack had almost forgotten he had a date with CNBC's Maria Bartiromo. He and Maria had met on a dating website called Arrow. She had just finished up a hit on Jim Cramer. She was hot and sweaty because Cramer gets crazy on the set. Cramer. Good name. But Jack bought those rights long ago, and that story is for another day. The coat check girl knew he meant business because he checked 4 items of clothing and 2 boxes. Jack Renegade collected himself before sitting down to dinner with television's last leading lady. He ordered his usual, a bottle of bourbon and a hamburger, extra rare, no bun, cold cheese, but the lettuce hot. Jack knew this money honey would give him some advice, even if they didn't end up falling in love and living together until the ocean swallowed the world. He told her how things were going. He was too good for the president, but this was all part of a plan as well. He ordered another pound of hamburger meat. Clearly, he was being sent on some secret mission of transglobal significance, he explained, but he just didn't know what it was. The people who dispatched him for these types of things hadn't yet told him what this one was about, but it would all come together soon enough, he was sure. They were only cutting ties with him because they wanted him to go deep underground. She looked at him and said, I don't know what you're talking about. Who do you work for? Try listening next time. It sounds to me like you got fired from 2 jobs today. He looked at her and winked, but his conjunctivitis made his eyes stick for too long, and when he opened it, she was gone. He'd forgotten to ask her about herself. Time to close out the night by going to his favorite old haunt. The mission would be clear soon enough. One of these people was clearly an agent. Someone had to be telling him what the next move was. Excuse me, you need to pay the check. What? The waiter would have to wait, because it was time for a maneuver called the dine and ditch. You make your way to the bathroom, and then spend too much time so they think that you're having a problem. Then you get out of there in a mad dash, shoving the coat check girl and snatching your things. Jack Renegade walked slowly into Cappy O'Leary's, the hot D.C. spot where all the congressional aides and Senate advisors drink and gossip. He sat down and ordered himself a gin martini with a shot of bourbon in it. This was his kind of night. He started screaming aloud, "Does anyone have anything for me? Does anyone have anything for me? I work at the White House! Or I did!" The bartender presented the drink, but he looked at Jack a little too long, which made Jack wonder, what's this guy up to? Was he supposed to say something? Is he his secret contact? Jack gave him a smile. He walked back and served Jack all night. There were no other contacts he could find in the bar except this bartender. He watched an entire golf game without talking to anyone. Eventually, he realized he was going to close out the place. The bartender looked at Jack again. This time, longer than Jack had ever seen a man look at him before in his life. He knew this must be it. He followed him into the back kitchen. Everyone had left for the night. He said to me, "It'll be 200 if you want what I think you want." Jack wasn't used to paying for information, but today was a day full of firsts. He gave the bartender the 200 and proceeded to receive the data via a biological delivery system that Jack had never encountered before. The bio-imprinted information exploded into Renegade. Jack waited for the fluid to reach his brain and unpack its secrets. The next morning, Jack woke up in a bus station with crust butt. He knew he had his mission. He was still waiting for the nanotransference to work its way into his conscious mind. In the meantime, he had a job to do. Time to get back to work at Bite Blart. He stood up and collected his boxes. He heard 2 passengers getting on the bus say, "Yeah, that's him." Positive ID. His cover had been blown. Renegade had to escape. Jack entered his second trance-like state since dawn. Each vision unlocked the next. The sun moves in an arc across the sky that the ancients call the Great Helioplex. The lost knowledge from Easter Island to the Mayan temples. The great Ouroboros snake, its head speaking within the mind of man. It was true. All of these edifices built across time, understanding that the ancients knew a calendar that was greater than we could ever conceive of. Was this the end of a 60,000-year cycle in which the serpent should return to cleanse the earth of the unworthy? But his smart trip card had expired on the first of the month. The serpent had won yet again. After an unsuccessful hop of the turnstile, he slammed his face into the dirty pavement of the subway floor. Jack Renegade crawled his way into the metro, narrowly escaping the transit police with a quick whip of the pantaloons. The constable slipped on his slick trousers, and in the rush he left his oily boxers behind as well. Sometimes you have to say goodbye to the past to open up the door to the future. Bite Blart, the top news organization in the United States, was running like a finely tuned machine. People were shuttling paper and pads from desk to desk, writing down the truth as only they could see it, and packaging it for an audience eager to be persuaded. Jack said good morning to Marie, the front desk receptionist, who seemed shocked to see him. She shrieked and dropped her papers. She ran into the back, Jack presumed, to pre-announce to everyone her joy at his return. He turned the corner to see people standing in awe. The room dropped to silence in an instant. It was so quiet you could hear the humming of the 10-dimensional fibers that create the illusion of existence. From the back of the room he heard a name, whispered softly. "Steve?" Jack turned and barked, "Who's Steve? I'm Jack Renegade!" Steve, they repeated. Steve, please come to the office for a second. Jack would play their game. He agreed and entered. They explained to me that this man they thought Jack was, Steve Bannon, was no longer welcome at Bite Blart. They showed a trick mirror in which stood the visage of a bloated, pockmarked clown. This guy was disgusting. That's all Jack could think. Disgusting. Poorly dressed, flaked with psoriasis, a mess. Not the Jack Renegade he knew. Someone dropped a snow globe and the ruffians entered the Temple of Solomon and killed Hiram. Three ruffians responsible, representing the three pillars, Doric, Corinthian, and Ionic. The destruction of Joachim and Boaz. We build the universe in our own making.
Archivist's note. The president wasn't himself lately. Also, the two of us hadn't been getting along. We had spent hours in silence. Today, corridor rumors had it that he hadn't returned to the residence the night before, so I was extra cautious entering the Oval Office, which was a good thing since opening the side door knocked over a pile of styrofoam containers that were stacked against the wall. President Trump had the curtains drawn. His hair was flipped to the side, and he had his foot up on his desk. He later told me that he thought he had stubbed his toe because someone had rotated the Oval Office slightly clockwise so things weren't where they were supposed to be. The eyes on the paintings of Washington and Jackson had been blacked out with Sharpie, and the red phone was off the hook. A pile of wet magazines sat on one of the couches covering a greasy stain that continued on the carpet. This great man had to retreat from a world that wasn't worthy to be sprayed with his big foamy globs of spit. Shame on them. But we stand with him. I stand with him. The loyal members of the administration stand with him. And the American people who count stand with him. Because no matter what story the traitors and liars in the media and elsewhere are trying to sell, the truth is that Donald J. Trump is the last hope to prevent this country from falling into the abyss. Peg hadn't returned my calls. I hadn't returned the divorce papers. So we were in a standoff. Maybe the same one we'd been in for 25 years before I woke up. She was a snake. Like Cohen, like Flynn, like all the cowards who had betrayed my king. I repeated what the president was muttering into his morning griddle. They're all going to pay. Call. Michael Cohen voicemail. November 4th, 2013.
Michael Cohen, I got a new phone, so leave your name and number, and I'll give you a call back. Bada bing.
Michael, hello? Hello, Michael, are you there? He's not picking up. Michael, this is Trump. Listen, I think the meeting went really great in Russia. Russia, the Miss Universe, I think we got the permits. We just need the bank guy and the permit guy to get together with us. And I got that letter of intent, and I intend to do it. We're going to sign the deal, and it's going to be so big. And I know you were talking to me about all those guys who could put money through the apartments, and I figured out what we could do. We'll have three apartments furnished so that we can resell over and over again, and then we'll just hire some people to be in the apartment if anyone goes to check it out. And then we had, like, a family there. They're the extended family of whoever, the Russian oil guy, grandpa, grandma, couple of cousins. That should be good. Unky, auntie, a couple of babies, a little nephew, grandpappy. We'll have them all, and then they'll all live in there, and we can shift them around, and we can pay them, you know? In Russia, you can pay them nothing, okay? And then I was also thinking, I know that Putin's guy was talking about a place to keep women, and I think the 4th through 7th floors would be the perfect places for girls to turn tricks. Do whatever you want to do. It's an easy access. You don't need a hotel key to get in the building, so it's easy for guys to get up there. And I say we make a website and do the whole thing. And I'm hoping when we go over there for the next Miss Universe visit, we can sample the product. I know Melania doesn't know I'm going, and I'm not going to tell her till I'm at the airport. So this should be a good time for us. We're going to have some fun going, just you and me. You know, you're going to get your dick wet finally, you know. Get that dick wet, you know. Get your pecker wet. Get your pecker wet, Michael. Bye. I love you.
Calls. Blocked number to Donald Trump Jr., June 9th, 2016. 3:10 p.m.
I can't believe it. Oh, my God. We're such sneaks. We're such sneakies, Donnie.
Dad,
stay upstairs.
I'm gonna stay up. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, no. I so wanna come down. I so wanna come downstairs.
I want you here, but they say we gotta keep you separate. Paul, Felix, Jeff, Papadopoulos, everybody says you stay upstairs. Go to your office or go to your apartment. They're gonna have some good stuff for us, Dad. Don't worry. I'll tell you as soon as I know anything.
It's so sneaky, though. It's so sneaky, Don Jr. It's like, you're only three floors below me. I'm right upstairs, and I know everything, but I don't know anything. You know what I mean? Don't worry. I don't know anything.
Exactly.
Because you're talking about the babies. Everybody loves the babies. And who wouldn't want to figure out how to get more babies into America?
We're talking about the voting machines, though.
I know that, you idiot! Listen to me. We've got it all covered. The babies is the cover story, and it's gonna work. But I want to hear they're hacking the voting booths, or like, what they're doing with that Cambridge anal fistula. Doing whatever business they're doing, whatever they're gonna do. Cambridge anal fistula is doing all the good science. But we need to know what's the dirt. I want to know on Hillary, okay? Is she doing the pizza kids? What's happening, okay? So you're going to call me, okay? You're going to call me, and when you call me, I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you when I call you, okay? It's going to be from a blocked number, okay? But we'll say it's the babies.
Oh, that's smart, Dad. But how will I know it's you?
What?
How will I know it's you?
Because I'm the only blocked number calling you, you idiot.
But how will I know you're calling if I can't see it?
Because it says block number, you moron. And here's the foolproof part. You can't star 69. You can't star 69 a block number. So there's no callbacks. Nobody can call it back. And everybody is saying block numbers are totally untraceable. So there's like no way, you know what I mean? So it's like we used to do it all the time when we pranked Chinese food restaurants. And we'd do a merge call, so we'd put one Chinese food restaurant on with another, and they'd both be saying, who called who?
And their names were who?
No, they're just saying, who called who, like who?
Because one of their names was who.
No, none of their names were who. I don't know what their names are, you idiot. I'm saying who, like an owl, who?
All right, they're here, so they're waiting for me, so...
Ooh, 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 good, 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 good. Okay, okay, go in there and then call me. No, I'll call you.
3:28 p.m.
Hello?
Hello, stranger calling from a blocked number.
Who is this?
Oh, are you an idiot? It's me, your father.
Oh, hey, Dad, I was just...
Don't call me Dad, it's a blocked number!
Okay, I was just, they were talking about how they can get emails if we say when the sanctions will go away, so, I don't know, seems like a real possibility.
Okay, so, if we do this, if we promise to make the sanctions go away, then you're saying they can do the thing with the election, yeah?
Well, they said first it's Hillary dirt, then second it's voting day stuff that they didn't want to say.
Voting day stuff? You're my eyes and my ears, you idiot. Why aren't you paying attention in there? I mean, my God, I don't even understand what you're talking about.
I mean, the woman wasn't even hot. She was just a lawyer.
Listen to me. You're not in there. This isn't like the time I took you to the cat house to lose your virginity. It doesn't matter about the lawyer.
Well, my wife... Things aren't going too well.
Yeah, I know. Okay, and I got a beautiful girl I'm going to hook you up with. All right? But if you want Daddy to give you the girl, then you got to give me the election.
Okay, Dad, I'm going back in.
Go in there, tell them, listen to me. Hello?
3:44 p.m.
Who's this?
Dad, I tried to call your blocked number, but it didn't work, so I blocked mine to call you.
No, you can't call back to a blocked number. I gotta call you, you moron. This is my office line.
Session said it didn't matter because they can tell anyway. Even a blocked number doesn't help.
No, that's not true. Everybody knows a blocked number can't be traced.
Well, Flynn says the FBI has got a better star 69.
No, there's no better star 69. What would the star number even be?
70?
Shut up and tell me what they said.
There's a... they said that they can get Hillary emails, they said that they're in most of the voting systems in different states in the country, and they said that we can build the tower in Moscow. All we gotta do is drop the sanctions and change the rules about the Ukraine, throw some tariffs on some metals, and something else. I wrote it down.
Listen to me. Tell them we'll drop the sanctions. Of course we're on the Ukraine. What do I care? Do the Ukraine. Do the Ukraine.
Why don't you call me back from your block number and I'll conference you in?
Okay, hold on. But it's gotta stay silent, okay? It's gotta stay silent. Nobody can know. All right, go back in the meeting.
Okay. Call me back from the block number, and I'll merge you in on the call we're already on right now.
Okay, got it.
3:46 p.m.
So, it is most important for our interests that...
Hello?
No. Is this Donald Trump?
Yeah, it's me!
Sir, you really shouldn't be. We shouldn't have you in this meeting, sir.
Don't worry, my number is blocked. Nobody knows I'm here. Just call me David.
All right, sir. The meeting's just wrapping up.
No, wait. Talk.
Don Jr. just kept stepping out in the hallway because his phone kept ringing.
Right. Don't worry about it. That was nobody. Listen, we have to talk for at least 20 seconds about something else until the feds stop listening, okay?
The feds? If they're listening, the meeting is over. We talk adoption.
No. Let's talk about the dishes. Boy, these dishes are real clean. Did you finish washing them?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you. You're my Russian housekeeper.
No, I am an attorney.
Dad, they're packing up.
I'm the housekeeper. Me, Jeff Sessions. I'm a housekeeper. Oh, sir, I washed up them plates real good, sir.
Those are good plates. Good job, Jeff. And look at your apron. It's got a beautiful chicken on it.
Oh, child. You are the living end, child. Now let me fry up some catfish there, sugar.
There we go. Very good. And by the way, Jeff, I'd like you to act like that all the time from now on.
Save me, Lord.
Call. Michael Cohen voicemail. September 24th, 2016.
Hey, this is Michael Cohen. I can't get to the phone right now, so leave me a message. Capiche? I'm Jewish and Italian, so I steal things on sale. Ha!
Hello? Michael? Voicemail? Michael, this is Trump. Listen, I think we're going to win this thing. It's looking really good. You see that thing? You see Hillary? You see Hillary the other day shaking around getting into that van? Oh, man, pretty funny stuff. I got to give it to her. She's a tough lady. That's a tough lady to stick it out. Very tough. It's going to be tough in the next debate. Anyway, listen... Things are going great, and it looks like we have a chance. Now, who knows? At the end of the day, we can't predict anything. But I want to make sure we have all our ducks in a row, you know? Get the ducks, line them up. When you see that mother duck walking those babies across the street, they're all in a row. You got to make way for ducklings. You got to make way. They have a street sign with the duck on it. Hard to find. And can the ducks read the sign? I don't get it. Ducks can tell the sign? They know where to cross? I don't think so. Anyway, we need to make sure that we take care of the Russian thing. Very important. That you get the thing, and I want you to talk to the guy. The one who had the cheeks like they were apricot pits. They were all rotty. Like that guy from all the movies in the 80s. You know, he had a real acne thing. We're going to build that tower, Michael. We're going to get in Russia. I can feel it. But I need to know. I need to know that it's all right and that everything's done and that you put all the documents and that anything, especially the meeting in Russia, is very important. Now, we went over Miss Universe. I want the flight logs buried, okay? I don't want anyone to know I was there. And also, you got to take care of that girl. Make sure all the girls are paid off before we get into the next stage of this thing, okay? 100 G's should do it, plus a little for you. I mean, these girls have never seen that kind of money in their life, so that should be good. By the way, going to Mar-a-Lago this weekend. Love for you to come down. We're going to get some good honeys there, some choice honeys. So bring some extra money because we're going to have to pay them off, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean. I love you. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Call. Michael Cohen voicemail. March 1st, 2017.
You've reached Michael Cohen on my brand new cell phone. Please leave a message and I'll call you back. Bye-bye.
Michael, hello? Listen, did you move the money to that guy?
The guy, the Shatner guy, Shatner, whatever his name is. I gotta tell you, I'm confused, because this medallion guy, I thought it was William Shatner, and I'm looking at the spelling, and it's not that. So I'm a little disappointed, because I thought we were giving $26 million to William Shatner, and I was so excited, because he was the best captain. It's too bad he died in the Nexus. He's trapped there for all eternity, just like Captain Picard's trapped in British Christmas. But I don't think that's too bad. I'd love to be trapped in British Christmas for the rest of my life. So I want you to move another $16 million over to this guy, okay? And make sure that it's untraceable, because these medallions, they're dropping in price. Have you seen it? The Uber's ruining it. It went from $1 million to $200,000. It's a crazy depreciation. Shatner probably does need the money. He lost his son on the Genesis planet, which is very sad. And it was a Priceline deal, which made it even worse. Oh, also, listen. There's this Stormy. Remember this Stormy girl? She's starting to talk to people. I'm hearing word that she's talking to people. And I don't like it. I think it's very terrible. It's a terrible thing. And you know these are all lies, Michael. These are lies. We all know they're lies. And we need to make sure that she understands that she can't be telling untruths. She's saying that are true. So I need you to find a guy. Get a good guy. Big guy. Just approach her in Vegas, okay? Just let her know where she stands. Make sure you get a guy that a sketch artist would not be able to draw. Someone who's got, I don't know, too general of a face or something like that. Someone too hard for a sketch artist to do. And here's what I think he should say. He should say, you want your mommy to get beat up? And he says it to the baby. And he goes, coochie, coochie, at the end. And that's going to scare the baby. And the baby's going to go, mommy, mommy, don't do this. Be good to Trump. And the baby's going to know, because the babies, they all love me. If babies could have voted for me, I would have won by a lot more. But babies can't vote, and we need to change that. Babies on the voter rolls for 2020. Make sure all babies, even preemies. Anyway, listen, also, I'm getting a little nervous about the FBI and the people, so you should probably start getting rid of that old box you have with all the old phones in it. Start getting rid of the old phones from the box. I really suggest doing it this week. Burn the papers, put things away, lock them away in undisclosed areas. I don't know, Michael, I'm getting very nervous. And listen, get to the cloud. Whatever you do, Michael, get to the cloud!
Call General Michael Flynn, April 25th, 2017.
Hello?
Flynn, it's me.
Mr. President?
Okay, don't say my name, it's me.
You shouldn't be calling me here, sir.
Just call me Finnegan's Restaurant.
What?
That's my code name. Call me Finnegan's Restaurant, okay? How are you holding up?
I'm fine, sir, but we really shouldn't be talking. I can't say more than that.
Listen, you gotta stay strong. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
You gotta stay strong.
I'll do my best, sir.
I don't care what they do to you. You remember that you have friends on the inside. I got a lot of people who've had to do time, who've had to go in the birdcage. And I don't mean the gay one with Robin Williams.
Yes, sir.
So what have they been asking you?
I really can't say, sir. Sir, I'm answering the questions they ask me as honestly as I can.
Why? You're supposed to dodge, clam up. I mean, you're gonna listen.
Please don't tell me that. Please don't say that.
If you go away, you're going to a nice, beautiful prison suite. They're gonna slice the garlic so thin it's gonna melt in the pan, okay?
Sir, I don't think you can promise me that, and I don't think you should promise me anything. I'm not planning on going to prison, sir, but we shouldn't be talking.
Why? Because the phones are tapped? We know they tap. They love to tap. But now that we know they tap, why would they be listening? Because we wouldn't say anything.
Exactly.
Why would we say anything since we know they're on?
Exactly.
Exactly. So what about the thing about the thing?
I don't know which thing, sir.
The guy. The thing with the guy.
I think they might know all about that, sir.
All of it?
I think so, sir.
Even the thing with the guy who picked up the thing and put the thing back down?
Are you talking about the lunch order?
It's all about the lunch. You can't tell them about it. Listen, first off, you can't let anyone know I had Wendy's because it was a code burger, okay? It's square, the secret shape.
Yes, sir.
Second, I've known a lot of guys who've gone up the river. Johnny, Little Tips, Mr. Hats, Lowdown Dinky, Martin, Rowan, Boat Boy, Sipple Sticks, The Skunk, Debbie the Cake Queen, Roger Roger, Ricky Skaggs.
Yes, sir, I understand, sir.
Roy Orbison.
I think he died, sir.
Tom Petty, George Harrison. Oh, wait, I'm reading off my CD shelf.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me, Flynn. You want to see your son alive again?
Sir, please, let's not go down this road.
What did you tell him? What did you tell Mueller?
Sir, I have to get off the phone.
Tell Mueller! You betrayed me! Did you betray me? Did you talk trash? Did you tell them about everything? Did you tell them about my little dance breaks? You tell them how I put my pinky up when I have coffee?
No, sir. No, sir.
You tell them our inside joke about my frequent bathroom breaks?
Please, sir, don't make me say.
Did you tell them that my whole company is propped up by foreign crime syndicate cash? That Trump Tower is just one big money laundering operation full of empty apartments bought at above market rates by Russian oligarchs? And that since I've been president, our foreign policy is being sold off to the highest bidder through shell companies owned by my mob lawyer? Did you tell them that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no!
Call Michael Cohen. February 1st, 2018.
What's going on up there, Michael?
Don't worry, sir. It's under control.
Michael, I don't like this.
It's under control, sir.
Michael, this is not good.
We got a handle on everything, sir. The NDA is airtight. The money got paid out. She's digging her own grave, so to speak.
I mean, this bitch is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. She signed the paperwork. She said she would do it, and now she's going back on her word.
She took the money, sir. I know.
She's a total Indian giver. Total Indian giver.
Don't worry, sir. You just stay above the fray. Stay out of it, sir. You stay out of it. You stay out of it. As far as you're concerned, I gave her a gift.
Why would you give her a gift? That's the dumbest cover story ever.
Because that's it. That's the story. I gave her a gift.
What a stupid story, Michael. What are you, crazy? No one's going to believe that.
No, it's going to work fine, sir. You just stay out of it.
I don't know. Why would you give her a gift?
Because I'm a generous guy.
I don't buy it. I'm sorry.
I understand, sir. But just stay out of it. Do you understand?
I mean, can you believe what she's saying? That... I mean, first off, listen, you and I both know the thing that we don't know that we know is true, okay? And we know it's true, and I'm going to say something else. She says I was sitting on the end of the bed. I was sitting on the end of the bed like a little boy. Are you kidding me? I was not sitting. I was standing up. I was rock hard, standing there waiting for her. She tried to spank me with that magazine, and I caught it, and I looked at her right in the eye, and I said, I think we need to go up to my room. And she said, yeah. She was the one who took the magazine, not me. And you know what? And you know what nobody knows? I made a little fart when she hit me with the magazine. I got the last word on that. You can get the DNA off that magazine. You'll see a little poop puff. That'll be the little poop that marks the timeline. Do that. Call forensics. Get the DNA.
Sir, Donald, listen to me. Don't overthink it.
Mr. President.
Trump.
Mr. President.
Listen to me. You stay out of it. This happened a long time ago. We took care of it. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh, Michael, you shut up. You shut up, you dweeb-faced, sunken-eyed garbage heap.
All right, sir.
You sit in your stupid office or your dumb hotel room and you make up lies. And I know what you do. You screw everything up. That's what you do. You haven't done anything right in your whole goddamn life.
All right, sir. Just...
You don't have a single thing to show for your whole goddamn life.
This conversation is over.
Your wife should be ashamed of you.
You stay quiet and forget this conversation happened.
Your wife and your stupid children, your dumb, ugly children. I haven't spent any time with you and your dumb, ugly children. I'll ruin you. You think I'll save you? I'll take you apart. You do anything, I'll take you apart. You get me? You know? We buried the body so many years ago, and you're going to bring that up to me now? You're going to bring that up to me now?
She's the one who came forward, sir. And I'm handling it.
You're not handling anything. You couldn't even handle your 2-inch pipe. I knew I should have ever gotten a Jewish lawyer. Okay.
Now, what about the McDougal? There's more than one?
There's several, sir.
There's so many, Michael. There's so many.
Don't worry, sir. The agreements are airtight, sir. You have nothing to worry about.
But the McDougal, that was paid off by somebody else. We can't control that.
Well, it's all third party, sir. We really don't have control over it at this point other than what the agreement says. And the agreement says they can't talk. So if they do talk, they owe us a lot of money.
They owe us a lot of money?
Yes, sir. They have to pay back the money.
Well, then tell them to talk. This is perfect, Michael. I mean, we need to get money. We need to make more money.
No, no, sir.
What we could do is, wait a minute, I got a perfect idea. Get them all to flip. Make sure they all start talking. Make them all breach their NDAs.
Sir, I don't think you're thinking about the...
I'm thinking about the money, Michael. We can make like $100-200 million off this.
I don't think you're thinking about the ramifications of this. I think you should...
Ramifications? That's a choice word. God knows every one of those girls had a ramification.
Most of them would disagree, sir.
You know, I can't believe her. I can't believe what she said. And what? What? She didn't enjoy it? Seemed like she was enjoying it when her face was turned away from me, and she was making no sound.
She's a porn actress, sir. So if she wasn't able to fake it with you, I don't know what to tell you.
The hell are you talking about? She wasn't faking it. Don't you understand? It's the inverse with porn stars. If you have sex with a porn star and they totally shut down and lay there like a stone-dead body with their face still and completely silent, that for them is relaxing. Because most of the time, they have to perform and go, oh, 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 that cock, oh, 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 my pussy, but there.
Where are you right now, sir?
Where? I'm in a cabinet meeting. The press is here. Yeah, I'll take questions in a second. Anyway, okay, listen, what do we have to do? We have Stormy Daniels, the storm surge. The storm surge. And the waves are flowing everywhere.
Her real name is Stephanie Clifford, sir. That's important to remember.
Clifford? The big red dog? Double it.
Interview. Calm before the stormy.
Things aren't looking good, Kelsey.
I wouldn't be too worried, sir. It's in your nature to seduce women. You can't be constrained. No one expects you to behave the way normal men have to.
You know it. Write that down. You know the kind of guy I am. They can't keep their hands off me, you know? They can't keep their hands off me. They love a piece of Trump. They love a piece of Trump. And I can't stop myself. But I'll tell you this. She is a liar. I mean, a total liar. We had a great time. And I have the tapes to prove it.
You have a tape, sir?
I have all the tapes. I recorded, I call her, and I recorded all the phone calls, just like a jerky boy, like a total jerky boy. Frank Rizzo, who was a Democrat. But I want you to hear them, and you tell me what. I think we should release them.
Are you sure you want this on the record, sir?
Yeah, it's all on the record.
Hello, Stormy. Hello.
Oh, Donald.
You don't sound happy. Is there another Donald you don't like so much?
No.
I gotta tell you, I'm missing you. I'm missing you so much. God, that was so good. That was so good, you remember? You remember how we were really flirting, huh? We were really flirting.
Yeah. So, look, I want to talk to you about the show, The Apprentice.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. It's gonna be incredible.
Well, I might hold you to that.
Yeah, yeah. You can hold me. Hold all of it.
If you're serious about me interviewing about the show, we could have another...
Hold all of it, you know what I mean? You know what I mean when I say hold all of it?
All right.
You can hold it all.
Maybe we'll have a meeting in public?
I mean, you're a professional. You can hold it all.
Look, I had a fine time with you. Okay, we had a good night. A good time.
It was a tremendous time. And the love. The love. There was such love there. And nobody spoke to me. I never let anyone speak to me the way you spoke to me.
Well, that's cute.
You're a tough gal.
That's very sweet.
Strong woman. I love it.
That's very sweet.
Not like my wife.
How is your wife?
Oh, you know, the baby is, I don't know, it's like 4 months or something. I don't know. She's good. Whatever. You know, it's really not working with us. Stop working with us.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And she said, you know, she said to me, she said this,
Listen, Donald, you need to do what you gotta do. You need to do. I have the baby. I have the baby. And you know how it works. Down there is not working, you know, because they had to cut her. They had to cut her to get the baby out.
You know, I really wanted to talk about some business.
And?
I wanted to talk about the television show.
And she said to me, we have an open marriage. We have an open marriage. And it's fine. Donald, do whatever you want.
I know, you told me this.
But I don't want Stormy.
You told me this the other night.
Excuse me?
You told me this the other night, and that's all fine.
But you can't say anything. That's the only thing.
I wasn't planning to.
You see, because she doesn't want to be embarrassed. She's fine with it, but she doesn't want to know about it. And no one else can know about it, right?
I understand. I really mainly just wanted to talk about The Apprentice. You know, I'm making my schedule for the year, and I...
Making that schedule with your tits? You're making that schedule with your wet tits? Am I making you hot? Am I making you hot?
It's 10 in the morning, and my daughter, I have to take my daughter...
Ooh, yeah, your daughter.
To swim class. Oh, please, don't...
Ooh, yeah, swimming?
Please, stop that now. I'll ignore that because I know you just react to what you think you might hear.
How old's your daughter?
She's 2 years old.
Hello?
I'm still here.
I thought you said 22, because, you know, then we could have some fun, you know, some mother-daughter fun. You know, mommy and daughter teaching each other the ropes, learning where their sensitive parts are, being guided by me.
So, is there a possibility with a meeting with NBC, or is this going to be what we talked about?
Oh, yeah, all of them.
And the production company?
NBC, ABC, CBS.
Is there someone I can talk to about just getting this on the books? And it would be NBC, because that's the network that airs your show.
HBO, Cinemax. Well, we're going to meet with them all. Stormy, you're a real talent. And I want to make sure that you meet with them all. And I got a guy who's going to set up all the meetings. As soon as I can get in touch with them, we're going to fly you down to New York. You're going to be on the show. I think it's a great idea. This porn star turned businesswoman, it's a great idea. And there's a lot of work for you in it, honey. There's a lot of work for it. What are you doing in a couple hours? We could meet about it.
I'm going to be at swim class with my daughter.
Ooh, yeah.
My 2-year-old daughter.
Oh, what? Oh, God. What am I doing? Get out of here, Melania. I'm on the phone.
That's all?
So there's nothing to worry about. I think I come off looking like a peach. So a week goes by, Kelsey, and she won't stop. It's like a total extortion.
I don't want to listen to another conversation, sir.
So then I recorded this conversation.
Hi, I'm recording. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Donald.
Ooh, hi.
Donald, could you call my agent? He said that nobody at NBC has heard anything about our deal.
Ah, I get hard hearing that voice.
So I really want to get the ball rolling, Donald. If this isn't going to be real, that's okay. We had a nice night. It was good to get to know you. If there's going to be no movement on the show...
Ooh, I had a movement. I had a big one this morning. I would have been so ready, all emptied out. If you had come over like I asked you to, I would have been totally hollow. Today's the first time I've never had any duty in my body. And that's when the best sex happens.
Donald, you're a good guy.
I know. Let's go out. Dinner.
Yeah, maybe.
And kisses?
I don't want to just go to your hotel room. All right, maybe we go out, we meet about the show, about work.
I have an idea. What if we come to my hotel room, have dinner there, we can FaceTime one of my friends, and then we get to business?
All right, that's not fun for me. Do you understand that? Do you understand that that's not a lot of fun for me?
The dinner? I get it. Let's cut the dinner and skip to the fun part.
I don't want to come to your hotel room and have sex for 10 minutes and then go home, okay?
10 minutes? Yeah, you're right. You want to meet somewhere else?
Listen, if you weren't serious about...
Like a public park or something, kinky, kinky.
I still want to talk about The Apprentice, because the entire reason I met with you the first time was that you told me that maybe you'd want to have me on The Apprentice. But now you're just stringing me along like I'm...
The guy never called?
No. Nobody's ever called me or my agent.
John Barron never called?
John Barron didn't call.
He's here right now. Hold on. I'll put him on the phone.
Wait a second. You said you were in...
Hello, this is John Barron.
Donald.
Hello, John Barron.
Donald!
This is John Barron. I'm the publicist.
What is this?
Listen, I'm working real hard to get you on The Apprentice. It's just we're hitting a couple of snafus. You know, the best idea would probably be to meet with Mr. Trump in his hotel room later tonight.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, okay, well, what are you wearing now? It's important, because I need to give a profile to NBC.
I'm wearing my equestrian uniform. I'm wearing breeches.
Ooh, breeches?
And a jacket.
Oh, whoa.
A hat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at the stable. I'm about to ride a horse.
I'm a horse. I'm John Barron. I'm a stallion. I'm a horse.
Can you put Donald back on?
I got a big old horse cock.
Because even Donald wasn't quite this bold with me on the phone. And it's the middle of the day.
No, but John Barron's bold. John Barron would do anything. John Barron's, you want a horse between your legs? Hello? Hello? Hold on, I'll put Trump on.
Donald, please.
It's me. Boy, that John Barron's a real pig.
Why is he in your bedroom at 9 a.m?
'Cause we're going over publicity. Here's the point. NBC says it's gonna be tough, and that I need to have a few more meetings with you so I can really figure out what's the special thing about you. And we can't do that over the phone. We need to do it in person, and preferably in a hotel room, because that's where I'm most comfortable. So, listen, I want you on there. Everyone wants you on there. NBC's so close. They're so close. But there's a lot of opportunity. A lot of opportunity. But it requires you to get along, to play along.
I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. Look, it was nice meeting you, and we had a night, and I think that's just going to be the end of it for me.
Oh, whoa, really? So you don't like me? You don't like me?
I like you fine.
Oh, so you just used me. You used me to get on this TV show and you don't like me? You don't like who I am? Oh, I'm sorry. Who is it? Some big, tough, boring guy? Is that who you're into? Some guy with his big cock and his big abs? That's what you're into? A black guy like your friend is into?
I am not having this conversation.
You're not into personality. You're not into someone with a great personality who also knows how to make love, glamour, and goops, and glass, the lights are on the limos. Oh, I'm sorry you can't handle it, Stormy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I gave you my love, and I gave you my heart, and all you did was use me. So you used me. You're just basically a whore. You're basically a whore. That's all you are.
So you heard it all now. Don't you think everyone owes Trump an apology?
Suspicious Activity Reports. SARS Spreading the News.
From Teller, number 7719, Hollis, New York.
Customer.
Redacted.
Opened 3 new accounts today, making cash deposits of $250,000 into each. Customer kept making small talk with me throughout the transaction, commenting frequently on the stuffed frog I have at my teller desk. That's a great frog, really green, quote. He repeated the compliment a few times. He added customer name Olaf,
redacted,
as a joint owner of all 3 accounts. Business account number,
redacted,
was assigned to business entity, quote, Essential Consultants LLC. Account number,
redacted,
to business entity, quote, Necessary Advisors. And account number,
redacted,
to be entity, quote, Indispensable Specialists Incorporated. Customer was sweating a lot and muttering about my decorative frog, as well as reading the FDIC sticker fine print to himself during the transaction. When customer,
redacted,
left, I noticed my frog was gone.
Suspicious Activity Report from AML Supervisor, Farmingdale, New York. Customer Cohen triggered automatic alert to AML department after wire transfers totaling $2.25 million were sent to 3 accounts in $750,000 increments. Number.
Redacted.
Number.
Redacted.
Number.
Redacted.
Number.
Redacted.
AML specialist reports that Cohen answered a phone call to the number on file and reassured specialist that all funds were domestically sourced. When confronted with AML department conclusions that funds were sent through.
Redacted.
third-party money transfer service provided by...
Redacted.
Iranian financial institution on OFAC block country. Customer Cohen became irate and asked specialist, quote, what his fucking problem was, unquote. Supervisor attempted to speak to Mr...
Redacted.
Earlier today, leaving a voicemail with beeper messaging service. Supervisor received return call from unknown third party identifying himself as Dennis...
Redacted.
Transcription unavailable as caller was whispering and unintelligible. Supervisor recalls that caller insisted that there must be some confusion and that the money was sourced from a Korean food service company.
Redacted.
Upon contacting...
Redacted.
...and inquiring about this information, supervisor learned that...
Redacted.
...is a private military contracting service operating out of the DPRK, a.k.a. North Korea. In a subsequent call, Cohen representative Dennis...
Redacted.
...said, quote, okay,